This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome again to All About Living. We have more exciting news about the wonderful ways that you can access WTDY and this program. Specifically, as I tell you every week, that all our programs are posted after the program airs on carolcobyradio.com, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. So if any of these programs you want to share with friends, family, listen to again, that's how you can access them. And today's program will be no different. It will be posted sometime next week. But in addition, if you are out of the listening area, and this is becoming the holiday travel season now, you can listen online anytime to WTDY just by going to WTDY.com on your computer or laptop, iPad, whatever, and you can listen to the program. Now we have a third option, and Morgan Welk, expert producer of All About Living, I'm going to ask you, Morgan, to explain what people can do to access it on their phones, their smartphones, iPhones, Androids, whatever.
Smartphones, iPhones, Android phones, and Blackberries all have WTDY apps available to them now in the app stores for those respective phones. And I tell you what, being outside of the listening area is only the tip of the iceberg with this the program for your phone. It also comes in very handy for some of the weekday listeners who may not have streaming in their office. A lot of these people that maybe disagree with Sly on one level or another tend to get rid of the streaming capability for WTDY inside their building.
So I heard that some offices are allowing.
Oh, the state buildings are just going crazy over it. But now
that's
that you
amazing.
Got your smartphone.
What about free speech?
Free speech, correct. But, you know. Yeah, I'll stop there.
That's another topic, continue.
Yeah, the greatest part about this phone is that you can listen where maybe your radio doesn't get reception. You can listen in your car anywhere that you've got cell phone reception, and it's all free. So if you go to your app store for Android, which is called the Android Market, you can go to the app store for iPhone, which is called the App Store at Apple.com or iTunes. And then we also have the BlackBerry App World, or App Universe or something like that. But that is where you can get the WTDY app for your phone. It's all free. You might get charged. It will count towards the data on your cell phone plan. But if you want to be able to listen to WTDY anywhere, and just at the touch of a button, a very easy to use, just hit one button, and you'll be hearing the voices of Sly and Kurt and Carol Colby on a Saturday afternoon in no time at all. It's really cool. So I've got links to those things on Sly's website as well, which is slysoffice.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. You explain it so much better than I. When I start to explain technology, it just sounds like gibberish.
Sounds like Sly.
It sounds like Sly. It's the first time I've been compared to Sly. Anyway, it's just wonderful. There are so many options.
Well, that's about where the similarities end right there.
Morgan is Sly's producer as well. So it's an interesting world that he lives in. He leaves Sly's show sometimes and we tape the program. And so he comes to the All About Living studio and we move from there. Thank you so much, Morgan. So remember, the app store on your telephone, your cell phone, WTDY.com and CarolCobyRadio.com, all ways to access our program and WTDY in general. Now, I mentioned that the holidays are coming up, and we're going to actually move into the holidays by talking turkey, and not talking turkey in the sense that we're going to figure out how best to cook your bird, but we're going to be talking about talking turkey with the doctor. And this is one of the areas that really needs some attention. I think we can probably cook a turkey in our oven a lot easier and have it turn out more successfully than some of the conversations with healthcare professionals these days. But as we move in the arena of healthcare reform and how to cut down costs and how to have better access and better outcomes, this is one of the areas of conversations that needs to be done. And we have two people in the studio today who have great expertise in this area, and they're going to be giving opportunities to share this and presenting courses to people so everyone can learn the skills, both of professionals and consumers as well. And I'm so pleased to welcome Anne Elbert. She's a familiar face to our program. And Anne is the Executive Director of Supporting Active Independent Lives, better known as SAIL, the acronym SAIL, and SAIL, SOS, Personal Emergency Response Service. And Supporting Active Independent Lives, SAIL members help design and have access to benefits that help people remain healthy, active, and in their own homes. And you have just an array of services. And you in particular have been a tremendous advocate for seniors in so many ways. And I was happy just last month to present an award to you on behalf of Safe Communities, which is a falls prevention organization specifically. And they gave you the Be Safe Award for advocacy for all of the wonderful work you do working with seniors to keep them safe in their homes. And just tell me a little bit before we get into the talking turkey, because falls prevention is a real focus right now. And United Way has a major campaign going, and Home Health United, one of our the sponsors of this program, is a resource access for in-home interventions and checking out homes and people's lifestyles to see about falls prevention. But what is the impact of falls, Anne?
Falls are a very serious problem for seniors especially, and I realize falls affect all of us, but for Dane County alone, just as an example, one serious fall that would necessitate a visit to the hospital, on average, it costs about $18,000. But more importantly, what we all need to recognize is that statistically, a person, about 40% of persons who have a serious fall actually end their lives in a nursing facility. And, you know, a person could be functioning very well day to day, enjoying life, and one fall can change their world.
And it could be the trigger that takes away their independence.
Yep.
And it never comes back totally.
That's right.
So
right.
Falls prevention is something that we always want to focus on and continue to be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But moving to the talking turkey element of it, because this is an important aspect of healthcare and health outcomes. Also joining Anne today is Sue Gard, who is a registered nurse and the founder of Confident Conversations. And her work involves transforming healthcare interactions one conversation at a time. And SAIL was awarded a grant from a fund for women to present workshops and programs that help people learn how to talk turkey with their doctors. And you're also going to have workshops on the straight dope on medications, which is also another area that takes people's independence away. And then the all-important legal lessons and money matters. And these are the areas that give people the tools where they can maintain control of their lives no matter what happens. And when it comes to a point that their lives are challenged, and they need to have access to help and resources, that they're in charge of that journey. So three really important components to this training program that SAIL is going to be offering. And Sue, you, the Confident Conversations, you have the syllabus or the course that will be presented in this area. Can you tell me about it a little bit, what the overview is going to be?
Sure. The Fund for Women set as a funding priority for this year a focus on women caregivers and the challenges that they face. And so the curriculum for this workshop series is really tailored toward caregivers and women caregivers in particular. And what we're looking at is addressing some of the fundamental issues that we experience in healthcare. And one is we know that we have a major health literacy problem in the United States. The Center for Disease Control has concluded that health literacy is a major public health problem. Only 12% of U.S. English-speaking adults are proficient in understanding even basic health information. So we know that 9 out of 10 people roughly are struggling with understanding information that they're given just to manage their health and their information about their medications, information about their diagnosis and their treatment. And so what we are about is empowering caregivers in particular to have those important conversations and to be able to be empowered to ask questions in what is a very time-limited interaction with the healthcare team.
And when you talk health literacy, you're talking both the verbal conversation as well as any literature or written materials that are given to people.
Absolutely. Health literacy encompasses a whole range of communication. It could include insurance forms, patient instructions given verbally or in writing. It includes how signage in healthcare facilities. It includes information that's given in handouts, printouts, all of that, and what we often do is overload patients and caregivers with information, and most of the time they don't understand the information we're giving, and that puts us all at risk because we can't necessarily carry out in the way that was intended because we're not comfortable.
Well, in these programs, you are focusing on caregivers.
That's correct.
And not the patients themselves. Mm-hmm. And I just heard on the radio this morning on the news an interesting statistic that the number of people 90 and over has tripled mm-hmm. since 1980, and they're going to quadruple or something by the middle of the century. And there are just a horrendous number of caregivers, 43 million caregivers in the United States that are taking care of someone that's 50 years of age or older. A third of them are men, but two-thirds are women, and that's mm-hmm. where your focus is going to be.
And that's correct. There was a very interesting Public Policy Institute paper put out by the AARP just this year. And what that report showed is that the average caregiver is a 49-year-old woman who works outside the home and spends nearly 20 hours a week providing unpaid care to her mother for nearly 5 years. And the economic toll on caregivers is significant in terms of loss of income, loss of retirement savings, and you know, while they're in that caregiving role, and often take a step back in their careers as well during that time. And so this workshop series is intended to be preventive in nature, you know, mm-hmm. getting ahead of that game, understanding how to plan legally and financially for that, how to ask those critical questions, how to navigate the healthcare system effectively to make that role easier and more effective. And we know that caregivers are absolutely critical. And in fact, this same policy paper showed that the presence of family members during physician office visits has been shown to improve communication and increase patient satisfaction. So it's a very, very critical role. I don't think as a healthcare delivery system, we've known necessarily how best to support that role. And so we are working with these caregivers to say, you know, here's how to be more effective and more empowered in those very important conversations that we have.
And this is a critical issue, particularly in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is we hear about red states, blue yeah. states, purple states. Wisconsin is a gray state, that there are more people turning 65 every day in Wisconsin than there are turning 18. So this issue is not going to go away. It's only going to increase. And being proactive about it is exactly what we need to do. And that's what SAIL is doing, the Supporting Active Independent Lives organization, by presenting these workshops on talking turkey with the doctor, straight dope on medications, and legal lessons and money manners. And Sue Gard is here, who is the founder of Confident Conversations and will be leading the workshops. And Anne Albert has joined us today, and mm-hmm. she is the executive director of SAIL. So we'll continue our conversation on Confident Conversations and talking turkey with our doctor after these messages from our sponsors. This segment of our program has been brought to you today by Home Health United. You got a friend
this
right
is
here
all
online
about living
at Home
with Carol Colby, Madison 1670,
All About Living
WTDY.
On Madison, and we're back with our program, WTDY. All About Living, here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Joining me are Ann Elbert, who is Executive Director of SAIL. That is the acronym for Supporting Active Independent Lives. And they are continuing to do so in this marketplace by putting together workshops that will help people better communicate with their healthcare professionals. And this is because of a fund that you receive from a fund for women. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that one of the really downfalls where things break down in the healthcare delivery system is just this basic understanding, the communications, the dialogue between patients, consumers, and their healthcare professionals. And Sue Gard, who is a registered nurse and the founder of Confident Conversations, which is the name of your company, really, you have done a great deal of work in this area with caregivers, and you will be working with SAIL and presenting workshops on talking turkey with the doctor. And it's not about the turkey that we're going to eat next Thursday, but it's about having these conversations and improving our health literacy, the verbal and written communications that take place in the dialogue between health professionals and patients and their caregivers. And what you have found, Sue, what you were telling us before the break, is that caregivers and the involvement of caregivers is key to having this more seamless success journey in the healthcare system. What are some of the challenges that do occur in this communication breakdown, and what is the role of caregivers to improve it?
Well, there are a few areas where we know what we have some core issues. And when I actually interviewed caregivers and also professionals who support caregivers, and it's a role that we're not prepared necessarily for. We sort of evolve from perhaps being a daughter to being a caregiver and take on an increasing responsibility for interfacing and interacting with the healthcare team. And unfortunately, much of the literature and the advice that we provide to consumers of healthcare or caregivers doesn't really play out in the healthcare system in a very realistic way. In other words, commonly you'll find that we say your doctor should answer all your questions, bring your whole list of questions to your doctor, and that's not an effective strategy, because we know that through research, actually, that physicians can address maybe one or two items during a visit that are initiated by a patient or a caregiver. So where we start in addressing some of these issues is, how do you prepare and how do you find your voice as an advocate and understanding your role and the importance of that and starting to prepare effectively for office visits, for example, and how to prepare your list, how to prioritize that, how to get the most effective, most troublesome issues on the table right away, and going about that in an assertive, effective, and respectful way so that the healthcare team knows what the issues are and understands the caregiver's role. In other words, you start by introducing yourself and why you're there and the importance of your role. And so that's where we start. And
what about the privacy issue? Do you have to establish up front, or does the patient have to give the permission first for the caregiver to be deeply involved and to receive all of the information?
Well, certainly caregivers, particularly those that are providing physical caregiving, have a right to understand the information and interact with the healthcare team. There are documents, and we talk about that in the Legal Lessons of Money Matters section of part of the workshop series. There are certainly documents that we all can prepare to acknowledge who that caregiver is and that they indeed have our permission to interact with the healthcare team. But I think most clinicians realize when there's an individual who's accompanying someone to a visit and they're introducing themselves in that role and are certainly considered part of that healthcare team. And again, it's very important to clarify that up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I would urge the caregiver at the first visit or even prior to that to request from the medical provider a release that the patient can sign at that point. That would leave or that would give permission for the caregiver to check in with the physician on the patient's behalf.
Yeah, it's really important to have those documents. That's why that legal issues and the money matters part of your workshops is so critical.
Yes.
It's kind of the foundation to set the the floor for these ongoing communications that can occur then and openly occur.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But there is an issue, who's in charge? And the patient, unless the patient has been deemed not able to make decisions for themselves, when it comes down to the final decision, because a caregiver can be there as an assistant and and you work together to better understand the process, but not necessarily because the person is incompetent. So
that's correct.
When it comes right down to making decisions then, should that be presented to the patient, the caregiver, both? How do you present that in a workshop to talk about this conversation? I'm just thinking of some of the experiences I've had working with some of my elderly family members, and the pretty stubborn people, and talk to me, and you know, you get in these scenarios where people don't want to lose control.
And so I think there are several different aspects to the question that you've raised. One is it's covered significantly in the legal lessons and money matters section, and that's done by an attorney who's expert in elder law. And what she does talk about is particularly how to establish a power of attorney for healthcare, a power of attorney for finance, all of those things that are very important. What we talk about in the Talking Turkey session of the workshop series is, some of the areas where caregivers have expressed concern. So, for example, they come to the visit with perhaps a spouse, and the physician says at the end of the visit, well, everything just seems, just fine. And so there may be for that very limited time, things look much differently in that office visit than they do at home or wherever else, this caregiver is caring for this individual. And so the physician that speaks with me about this and I talk about is that there are ways to address some of those concerns. You can ask for a separate appointment with a physician to talk about that with a nurse ahead of the visit, so that there's awareness that there may be some issues that may not be playing out in the office visit directly. And so, and two, we also talk about the importance of allowing the person we're caring for to have as much independence as possible, as much decision making as possible, have them, and that also preserves the integrity and the dignity of the relationship we have with that individual. If it might be in my case could be a parent, and so we want to make sure that they're doing as much as they can for themselves, but not putting them at risk. And so if there is a situation of at risk where someone is at risk, we need to talk about that and find a way to do that in a respectful way. As these caregiving women talked to me, they said, I don't want to be the bad cop. So how do we work with the healthcare team to support the caregiver in realizing that there may be some issues that where they do need support, and those issues aren't necessarily being brought to light in a very limited office visit?
I think it's very delicate, and I think that's really the real world. I've been there myself in doctor's offices with relatives, and it's very, very difficult to have them maintain their dignity. Also, there's a role reversal involved. These have been your parents or your elders, and suddenly you're there and you're kind of in charge, but you don't want to take the dignity or the final decision away. You just want them to understand clearly, help the patient understand clearly what the options are and what the situation is, so that the decisions are the best in the best interest of the patient. But it's very delicate.
It absolutely is, and that's certainly another point that we talk about is being fully informed, and ultimately, you know, if the person we're caring for is able to make their own decisions, by all means. But yet we can be there as caregivers and advocates to help support that and make sure that we're all clear on what these healthcare choices are and how those might impact our quality of life. Are they things that would improve our quality of life, or are some treatments going to potentially not be consistent with what we would otherwise choose for ourselves? You know, and so those are all very, very important conversations to have.
What do you have the specific obstacles in your curriculum or how you're going to cover the course matter? How do you start out and what do you move into to have this communication dialogue be positive?
We talk about some specific conversation starters. So mm-hmm. we give our workshop participants language to use. And some of the areas where they particularly have some challenges, you know, is what to do if you want your doctor to listen more carefully. And we've heard that over and over from caregivers and from participants is, you know, how do I get my doctor to listen? And so we provide some conversation starters like, I have more questions. Can I make another appointment with you? Or who can I talk to so that I can get my questions answered? Or I'm really concerned about, you know, some issue, and what do I need to do? And so we start with that, and we talk about, well, what do you do if you don't understand what's being said to you? How do you start that conversation? What if you're not comfortable with the plan the doctor suggests? And we talk about trusting your intuition. Caregivers have a lot of knowledge, and they know the person that they're caring for probably, you know, better than anyone else. And so if there's something that's being recommended that just doesn't seem to make sense, or worst case scenario, it's an error, and those happen, how does one step up and say, you know, that they don't agree, or that they need to say no? And we talk about how to say no.
Well, the caregiver can bring some real valuable information to the table because they know the person. And isn't what we're really seeking is the treating of the person and not just the disease?
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. We also talk about what if the doctor doesn't understand how you can help as a caregiver or an advocate. So again, pointing to that, what you just said, you know, the value of the information that I bring, for example, to the healthcare team as a caregiver. So we might say, you know, doctor, I spend a lot of time with my mom every day. Yeah, and so what information can I share with you that would help you take better care of her? Or ask the nurse to speak with me or the doctor just before the visit. In other words, you know, have a little time, whether that's before the visit or a separate appointment or on the phone, to really talk about what concerns and issues and information that we have to bring that may affect how a clinician may diagnose and ultimately treat the person we're caring for.
We need to stop for another break right now. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on some of the strategies, the successful strategies that you have learned, because we're kind of changing the paradigm and developing a new model of communicating with health professionals and maybe closing the distance and not having them on such a pedestal. And we just don't have a great understanding and walk away not really having the best answers for ourselves because we don't understand what's exactly occurred. So it's a challenge that you have had on your hands, and you've really done your research to figure out what is working in today's environment and what direction do we need to go. We're talking about talking turkey with the doctor, also straight dope on medications and legal lessons and money matters, which are all part of workshops that are going to be offered by SAIL, the Supporting Active Independent Lives. And before we take the break, just quickly, and we'll talk more about the timing of these, but when will these workshops begin, Anne?
Well, we've had workshops throughout the year. We are offering additional workshops in January, and if people are interested, they could contact us at SAIL at 230-4321, and we can sign people up and give information on the specifics.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, and mm-hmm. that will be on the website, CarolColbyRadio.com. www.thewomenofcourage.com as well. We will make sure we have those contact informations. And I suspect you update the workshops with information as new information comes forth, which is
it's a constant conversation.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's very dynamic. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. And we'll be right back to talk more turkey with our healthcare professionals after this message.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby.
We're back with our program and happy to welcome today Ann Albert, who is Executive Director of Supporting Active Independent Lives, better known as SAIL, and SAIL SOS, Personal Emergency Response Service. And joining Ann is Sue Gard, who is a registered nurse and founder of Confident Conversations. And the reason the two of them are here together is because we're talking turkey. We're talking turkey with the doctor, getting the straight dope on medications, and looking at the legal lessons and money matters that we need to know as we pursue this journey of living long, healthy lives. And SAIL is offering a number of workshops on these topics, and there will be some more workshops coming up in January. And this area of communicating with your healthcare professional is one of the areas that research has shown has been where there's the greatest amount of crumbling or breakdown in the delivery of healthcare because the lack of understanding what's going on, understanding the patient, understanding the doctor, the health professional, and everybody being on the same page. So these workshops are really invaluable to people, right, Ann, as far as getting some tools and strategies to work with?
Right, especially caregivers, because we all know that caregivers, they need to be able to use their time as efficiently and effectively as possible. Many caregivers are trying to take care of other family members, younger family members. They're working full time. They're basically very short on time. And so the work we're doing helps people be more effective and save time and be more successful.
Well, and what you described, the caregivers, typically the average caregiver, mm-hmm. it's not the paid caregiver, it's the unpaid mm-hmm. family member, friend who has other responsibilities in lives, mm-hmm. and the time is limited. And if they were paid, what's billions of dollars of industry?
Yes.
It could be in the United States. There are 43 million caregivers. Mm-hmm. I noticed that was the latest mm-hmm. statistic in the United States currently.
That's right.
Two-thirds are women. And that's what you, the two of you, and SAIL is looking at in really mm-hmm. directing these workshops toward the female caregivers, which mm-hmm. has the greatest stress. Sue, you are the lead educator in the conversations and talking turkey with the doctor, and you're involved in the other aspects of the workshops too. But who else is a part of these workshops, and what other experts are on hand to present information?
We're really fortunate. We have some wonderful experts. Dr. Tim Bartholow co-presents with Sue on Talking Turkey with the Doctor. And Dr. Bartholow is a senior leader with the State Medical Society. We have the Alan Lukaszewski, who is a certified geriatric pharmacist, and Maria Wopat, who is also a professional pharmacist who actually studied with Alan. He presents the straight dope on medications, and he has done an extraordinary job throughout the years in his work at Oakwood Village and with SAIL. He's been fortunate enough to work as a pharmacist and as a leader in a residential living situation, so he has that added perspective and ability to learn what people need while they're living at home. So it's not just a clinical role. And then with the legal and financial workshop, we have Brenda Haskins, who is an attorney, a local attorney, who is an elder law attorney, really specializes a lot in the Medicare, Medicaid benefits, the veterans benefits, very well-versed, helping people learn how to plan financially for the care of a loved one.
Well, and that's such a critical mm-hmm. element, the planning,
yeah.
Being proactive, being in charge, and it keeps you to take control of your life or take charge of your life. Well, if something happens, if an illness or an accident mm-hmm. or whatever, or the whole aging process, at mm-hmm. some point, you're going to need assistance and,
right.
and help, but you can be in charge of that.
Right.
And the legal, you know, handling the legal issues and the money matters gives you that mm-hmm. that tool that you need to maintain control of your life. So it's really critical and something that we constantly mm-hmm. promote on this program because it is
yes.
so important. You talked about the medications, the straight dopa medications, mm-hmm. and United Way, we were mentioning mm-hmm. at the top of the program about how they have the falls prevention program and how
right.
falls can intercede and take away a person's independence. Well, also adverse drug events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the latest statistics is that a person age 65 or over who takes five or more over-the-counter or prescription medications, that's over-the-counter or prescription,
right.
I mean, it's not just the prescription,
right.
could experience a negative drug reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And these adverse drug events can lead to falls or they can lead to illness mm-hmm. and hospitalization and can also be the trigger to take away independence. So it's a very important area of,
that's right.
of healthcare, especially in the aging community.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking, Sue, you were talking about some of the strategies and the conversations and how to have them be successful for both the health provider and for the patient and the caregiver themselves. What are some of the other strategies that can be used to improve this communication, this dialogue?
Well, and as you were mentioning the issues related to adverse drug events and medications, the both talking turkey and the straight dopa medication, so the session two, we speak to the issue of that. For example, in an office visit, we may walk away with a prescription. Actually, we don't even have one in our hands anymore. Oftentimes, that's electronically sent. And generally, we don't receive all the information at that visit that we probably need to understand the side effects, understand how long to take the drug, what the drug is even, and how it might interact with other things we're taking. And then we go to the pharmacy, and then we may be asked, well, do you have any questions? And generally, we'll say no because we're embarrassed to speak up. So it starts to fall apart. And so what we talk about is the fact that we are in a position of needing to ask, and here are the things that we need to understand. And if we don't understand, here's how to go about having that conversation to say, I'm not clear about this. Can you describe this to me one more time? Or does this drug interact with something else that I'm taking?
Mm-hmm.
And to understand
that's
the importance.
That's a critical question.
Absolutely. And how might this affect, the person I'm caring for? And also sharing observations and, if things are different, who to talk to, who to call, how to go about noting that and saying, I've noticed a change since, and keeping a notebook. That's something we give every participant in these workshops is a notebook. And what should one document in a notebook and how to use that notebook in a hospital setting, for example, and to ask questions about medications. If we don't know what's being given, then we ask. And here's why it's important to ask and why it's really our job to do that. And actually, it's important, I think, for the healthcare team to have someone who can speak up, when they're is inconsistent information or they have some valuable information about the person they're caring for that could affect how we might otherwise provide treatment.
What about relationships? Is it good to develop relationships with the various health professionals, like going to the same pharmacy so you can talk
absolutely.
To the same? And so it's not just somebody different.
Mm-hmm. We talk about establishing a relationship with a primary care physician in our first session. We talk about how to further that relationship and how to have that best relationship. So it might be something that our doctor does that we appreciate and say thanks or leave a note with a nurse, how to further that relationship, but really having someone that's in charge. And if it isn't working, then we talk about how it's fine, it's okay to seek a different physician, because having that relationship is very, very important.
You don't have to feel locked in.
Exactly.
We need to stop for a break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up on that point, and also about the impact of caregiving on the caregiver and having caregiving be sustainable so that you don't burn out and you can't be as effective in that role as you really want to be. You're listening to All About
this
Living here on Madison
All About 1670 with Carol WTDY. Colby, Madison,
and this segment of our program is brought
WTDY.
To you by Oak Park Place.
We're back with our last
life,
few minutes with our guests,
well.
Ann Albert
we'll
and
right
Sue Gard.
To discuss
Ann
just those
is Executive Director of Sales, supporting
messages.
Active Independent Lives. And Sue is a registered nurse and founder of Confident Conversations. SAIL is offering a number of workshops to help us better talk turkey with our doctors and understand the legal issues and the money matters that keep us in charge of our own lives and get the straight dope on medications and how medications can maybe enhance our health but also be a detriment if we're not using them properly. And Sue is one of the lead people in leading these workshops, putting together the curriculum. There are a number of professionals that participate in these workshops to share the most up-to-date information with people. You'll be having more workshops in January.
Yes.
And what is the contact information for SAIL? And is there a charge for these workshops? What are the details? How long do they take? You know, how many hours?
Yeah, the workshops are an hour and a half, and the charge is $5. It covers materials, and then there are beverages and snack. So we try to foster some socializing and a chance for caregivers to meet and connect with one another. And the workshops are interactive, plenty of time for discussion and questions. And to learn more about those, a person can call 230-4321 or email sail@info.sailtoday.org. And we're happy to provide information.
All right. And that will be on the All About Living website, carolcolbyradio.com. I'll have that information spelled out so people can just look at it and click on their computer or pick up the telephone. Mm-hmm. And Sue, you've been sharing some of the strategies that you cover in improving this communication and dialogue between health professional, patients, and caregivers. And the focus of these workshops is caregivers. When we hear about caregivers, caregiving is a health risk in itself. And what can you share with people that helps them maintain their caregiving and it's sustainable and it doesn't burn them out or make them into a patient themselves that needs caregiving?
Mm-hmm.
And without feeling guilty, because I think that's also an aspect of caregiving, that people feel guilty if they're not doing everything all the time. They feel so bad.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing we talk about is empowering our loved one. So addressing those areas where the person we're caring for actually can do themselves, and recognizing that, you know, we don't need to do everything. And sometimes I think, you know, as caregivers, it's sort of a slippery slope where we can start to assume more and more responsibility and seriously looking at what can the person I'm caring for do themselves, and again preserving that individual's independence and dignity and the dignity of our relationship. The one thing that's very problematic for our caregivers, and I heard this over and over again when I met with women caregivers earlier this year, is that it's very hard for them to get to the resources. That we have many, many agencies in Dane County that serve caregivers, and they do a great job. A challenge for women caregivers is that they find it very difficult to, and they don't have the time to go to a website and look at a lengthy text or look at a long list of agencies and trying to figure it out. And we don't have a central triage area that really can provide that type of support. So what we do in these workshops is is provide each participant with the types of things that they can ask for, because I think it's not necessarily known or understood all the kinds of services that are available, but we don't do it by agency. We talk about the kinds of things that they can ask for. So what's for dinner is one of our questions on the resource sheet we provide. And so here are the kinds of meal assistance that you could get. And so we ask them as part of their work during the session is to check off those things that they need help with or could use help with, and then to develop their own personal action plan. And so who is it that they're going to call? We provide a short list of numbers, phone numbers, and websites for them to contact. And then our hope is that they're more aware of the kinds of things that they could ask for and how to ask for help. Because what doesn't seem to work is providing caregivers with a very long list of agencies, and they don't have the time to sort through it. And really what they're needing is to talk to somebody and say, you know, and get them to the right place.
Well, it's clear that caregivers have a real role to play, and they're a part of the medical team when they can provide all of the information and the care for the individual who is a patient. And this team concept of realizing that it's not just a doctor that's out there, but there are nurse practitioners and physician's assistants.
Right.
There are social workers. Mm-hmm. The pharmacist is a tremendous resource. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many agencies that, just as you said, who can answer the questions with services and resources in those particular areas of expertise. So that's a new concept that we have to get our arms around, is the fact that there are lots of people that can be supportive, and it's no longer just the one individual that's going to write a prescription or not.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good point. In fact, some of the focus group work that I've done over the past few years with patients is that they tend to, and caregivers too, look to a physician as the ultimate source of information. And so we have some work to do, as we are in these sessions, to say, here's the very valuable resource that your nurse can provide to you. I mean, it's a very, very critical link. And as you said, all the other members of the healthcare team and social workers in hospitals, and so we direct them to those individuals as part of our education in these workshops.
Everybody's part of the team, including the caregiver and the patient. Thank you so much, Sue Gard and Albert. We are out of time. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. The information about the workshops, Talking Turkey with Your Doctor, and so much more will be available on carolcobyradio.com. Thank you for listening. Now go out and have a great rest of the weekend, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.